sports fans. Welcome to Dorf on Sports, right here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. So much going on in the world of sports. In case you missed some college football action, Auburn got it handed to them, first and foremost. Then you had Alabama at home going down to Ole Miss. To be honest with you there, I kind of felt like Ole Miss was going to be in that ballgame and had a great shot to actually win that thing, which they did. And then you had those BYU kids going to UCLA, the Rose Bowl, and they had to come from behind once again, sort of. They were winning most of the game, and then UCLA scores a late touchdown, and then BYU is driving, and this and that and the other happen, and it doesn't happen for them. They throw an interception, and that was college football in a nutshell, to be honest with you. There were some other games that happened, too, but got to welcome in my tag team partner in crime, Jeff Rich. Jeff, good morning, man. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. You got to give it to BYU for having the cojones to schedule the way they did. They're going to be rewarded for it if they can keep this going.
Oh, no, 100%. And you know what? They look to me like they pass the eye test when you talk about whether they can compete with the other guys, you know, at this level and whatnot. The bottom line is they've got a pretty good football team. Their offense is all right. They can obviously play defense, although they were having a lot of trouble stopping that run there in the second half, and UCLA seemed to be able to push them back off the line a little bit. But for the most part, you're right. BYU has passed what I call the eye test.
Absolutely. It's taken some miracles. Was this the easiest win BYU's had this year?
You mean UCLA?
Right. I mean, BYU, they play well, and, you know, they're going to be in that conversation with that group of five. You know, they don't have the same independent status that Notre Dame does. But, you know, I think the UCLA is one, you know, I think UCLA, I think you got Michigan State at the top. I think it's silly that we're ranking teams so early, because what has Ohio State proven? What has Alabama proven to put them in the top five? I know there's a big win against Wisconsin and a relatively big win against Virginia Tech in that mix, but these rankings mean nothing this early in the season.
Yeah, and Ohio State, that was an interesting game, too. I'm listening to those announcers saying that Northern Illinois should be kicking the ball or going for it on fourth down, I should say, more often than not. And I'll tell you what, man, they were just so off with their commentary yesterday. But anyways, we'll get into it a little bit more on the other side. He's Jeff Rich. I am the Dorf Man. It is Dorf on Sports, and you're hanging out on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We'll be right back, everybody. Keep it close.
Hi, Rick Tittle here. You may know me as the sports talk host. I can talk about all sports: football, basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, golf, tennis, auto racing, boxing, Olympics, rollerball. But this time I'm here to talk about pain. If you have pain in your knee or your back like I do, then you should know about the Health Alert Hotline. If Medicare is your primary insurance, then you could qualify for a back or knee brace at little or no charge. I have an old injury from my football playing days. And anything that can help take that pain away and make it more manageable, that has my attention. I love the free delivery, and they take care of the paperwork for you. So if you have Medicare and need help for back, ankle, knee, or shoulder pain, please call the Health Alert Hotline at 800-428-1570. That's 800-428-1570. Agents are standing by 24/7, so go ahead and call now. 800-428-1570.
An important floor you may not always think about is the one for your car. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about sealing your garage floor so it always looks good right after this. What's the first step of any building or repair project? I always make sure I have the tools and materials I need, starting with the QuickCrete mobile app. With easy one-touch access, you can watch project video instructions, quickly pull up a material shopping list, and make sure you have what you need, or use the app to figure out how much you need and find out where to buy it. You can even share your finished project via the Quick Share function. It's the tool you can use from start to finish. Download the QuickCrete mobile app on the App Store or Google Play today. One of the best ways to seal a concrete garage floor is with the two-part epoxy systems you'll find at your local home center. Start by cleaning up any of the oil spots and then use an acidic cleaner to scrub the whole floor before rinsing it with clean water. After it dries for a day or two, you're ready for the sealer. Unlike paint or stain, epoxy sealers are mixed immediately before use, and you only have a limited amount of time to work with them. Once you mix it, you have to be ready to start rolling and brushing it on because the clock is ticking. Work small areas and keep a wet edge like you would with any other paint. If you're adding the decorative paint chips that come with some of these kits, you'll need to do that while the surface is still wet. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner.
You guys there?
Yeah, so much happening, Jeff. How you doing, buddy?
Doing well.
You know, a lot going on in the sports world, as we said, with those games and college football happening. And you know, we touched on Ohio State there briefly before we took the pause for the cause, Jeff. And I'll tell you what, I think it was one of those games where they were kind of sleepwalking through it, to be honest with you. They know that they're far superior in talent to this Northern Illinois, although give Northern Illinois a lot of credit. They were pushing them off the ball in the first half. That changed a lot in the second half, but with that being said, they still hung around, only losing that game by 7 points. I almost think that Ohio State, even though they win, it's an embarrassing win, Jeff.
I think that it's been 2 weeks in a row of it. A week ago, the 38-0 win was a lot closer than the final score indicated. And I think that Cardale, you know, the honeymoon's over for Cardale Jones. This is teams have just figured him out, or he's just not playing very well. Either way, you know, Urban Meyer has a decision to make. And I know that there's, you know, there's supposed to be this three-headed monster at quarterback there in Columbus, but sooner or later, you got to cut bait and you got to just let JT Barrett do what he was doing a year ago.
Yeah, and I saw Barrett look all right, if you ask me. I mean, a little of his passes were somewhat behind guys or a little bit low. However, the majority of them that guys were dropping, they should have been caught anyways. But what I'm really trying to say is if he leads those guys, instead of having the balls be just a little bit underthrown or thrown behind them, they may have been thrown for touchdowns versus, you know, drops in that case. But it is what it is. Look, I think we'd all like to have Urban Meyer's problems when you really think about it. He has three guys that are capable of being a very good quarterback. Not one of them has really stepped up yet. However, I say it's a pretty good predicament to have, Jeff.
Oh, it definitely is. And, you know, on their best days, nobody can stop them. But, you know, you're going to have off days that, you know, that these are college kids. You know, that there's you know, this isn't a full-time job. You know, they practice 20 hours a week, and yeah, football is their life. But at the end of the day, they are kids with a lot of pressure on them. And, you know, if Cardale Jones is your biggest problem, you know, Ohio State's got quite the embarrassment of riches.
Yeah, and what do you think about Auburn being maybe a little bit overhyped? Quarterback play for them is definitely an issue. LSU, you know, kind of quietly at number 13 in the country, laid a pretty good smackdown on those guys the other day. So what are your thoughts about Auburn and LSU?
Well, Auburn, you know, that was a team that everybody looked at for the playoff. I think that they fooled everybody by beating a Louisville team on a neutral site. Louisville hasn't shown anything in recent weeks to legitimize that win in any way. You know, of course, Jacksonville State, there's no way to justify that game being that close. And, you know, they came out and had it handed to them because this is the team they are. This is why we shouldn't get all tied up in preseason rankings, because they're not the number six team in the country. And they really did nothing to prove that they deserved to be at any point other than have a bunch of names on a piece of paper. You know, Johnson's just been a huge disappointment for them. Everybody thought once Duke Williams was on the field that it was game over and Auburn was going to at least run away with the non-conference schedule. But, you know, going through SEC play, you know, LSU ain't the only big kid on the block there.
No doubt. Hey, speaking of upsets and whatnot, there was one happened in the Pac-12. Stanford, look, I'm not going to take anything away from them. They've obviously been a strong program. This is a game that USC should win at home. Let's be honest. They lose 41-31. Stanford comes out and plays a pretty good football game. I mean, I watched that one too. They were scoring points, man. They were up and down that field. It was like a track meet for the most part. How does USC blow this one at home?
Again, they're just kids. the kind of thing that happens. You know what? It's funny when the Pac-12 realigned and they split into divisions, the guaranteed crossovers every year, you know, involve those California schools playing each other. So just because USC's in the South and Stanford's in the North, that doesn't mean that they ever get to avoid each other. And I think there's a little sense of rivalry. You know, USC, you know, you look at Notre Dame, you look at UCLA. But, you know, there's definitely an in-state rivalry, and I think it goes back to the beginning of the Jim Harbaugh era when Stanford was a 41-point favorite, went to the Coliseum and really took it to USC. So maybe USC was a little overrated, but, you know, you got to look at that Pac-12. You've seen Oregon's vulnerable. I mean, is UCLA the class of the Pac?
I don't know. I'm starting to think that maybe in a weird way, and I don't want to get caught speeding here, but maybe Arizona is the class of the Pack when everything is said and done. Looks like they've got their defense back to the Desert Swarm days a little bit. And offensively, I know they're playing Northern Arizona, but if you put up 35, 14, and 21 in the last three quarters of a ball game, you've got some offensive firepower. So Rich Rod is doing a pretty good job there with the Arizona Wildcats, yes or no?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And I don't think you should treat this as a stepping stone. I think that what he's got works in Tucson. It works in the Pac-12. He doesn't need, a so-called dream job when he's got everything that he needs right there. It's almost like he didn't leave West Virginia and, you could forget all about the Rich Rod Michigan era.
Yeah, I know you're on the road. Most people may not be able to tell, but you're on the road with me today, and I do appreciate you taking time out with me because I know you're trying to have fun today a little bit. Let the people know where you're at today, Jeff.
Well, I'm in Cleveland, Ohio. I've enjoyed an Indians game. We're taking the Browns game on Sunday, and with Marcus Mariota facing the Browns, it could be an interesting day, especially with your favorite, Mr. Jonathan Football, under center for the Cleveland Browns.
I give you a hard time about that because I see your posts on Facebook, and then I keep telling you, I keep reminding you that there's 15 more games potentially of Johnny Football and 15 more painful weeks of football for you. But you know what? Think about it. This is a pair of Heisman Trophy guys going up against it. Mariota obviously had a lot of success in his first game, way more success than people would have ever thought. How big of a test is this for both of these guys, to be honest with you?
Well, I think it's high profile in name only. I think that there's going to be a lot of flawed football. I think it's going to be an ugly affair because this Tennessee Titans team had the second pick in the draft for a good reason. And, the Browns are always up there. The Browns just really haven't figured it out on a consistent level since they returned to the league in 1999.
Yeah, I mean, look, I told you it was going to be a tough year. I know everybody goes into the season with optimism and hopes and dreams, and Cleveland is a tough spot to have that kind of a dream. But what kind of an atmosphere? When's the last time you were in Cleveland for a football game, man?
The last Browns game I attended was the finale of the 1999 season. Peyton Manning drives down the field. Mike Vanderjagt kicks a field goal to lock the Browns in at 2-14 in their inaugural season back. And, it finished up an 0-8 home slate. So I think that everybody's just they're chomping at the bit. They're impatient here in Cleveland, but the game day experience, it really doesn't matter what the product is on the field. It all happens outside in the parking lot. Before the game, they still have the dog pound. Everybody's going woof, woof, but it's not the same as it used to be. So I'm looking forward to the experience in Cleveland on Sunday. And, I'm hoping that it's not just atmosphere that we, that the Browns, Johnny Football, that highly touted defense that didn't show us anything in week one against the Jets. Hopefully, they step their game up and show what they're made of.
I heard a funny story from Ron Wolfley the other day as I was checking him out while he was doing his show. And he said, he remembers when he was playing with the Bills and he went back, they went to Cleveland and people were throwing dog bones at him and he made the mistake of throwing the bone back. Pretty amazing what took place. He said he just got onslaughted with a bunch of different bones being thrown at the whole team and whatnot. So I guess the word to the wise is do not throw the bones back when the people throw the bones at them, right? Yes or no, Jeff?
No, Cleveland's got stadium security. It's their job to police that. You know, when you're, you know, Ron Wolfley's a character for sure. You know, he's does local radio. He's the he does Cardinals radio color and everything else. So, you know, we get plenty of color from Ron Wolfley throughout the week. But, you know, lesson learned. You know, you don't jump in the cage with the Lions, basically the moral of the story.
Appreciate it. Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Jeff, we're up against it, man. So you have yourself a wonderful day. Appreciate you taking time out with me on the road there in Cleveland. Catch up next week, buddy.
All right. I'll be back in my regular chair next week. I look forward to it.
Thank you, brother. And we'll talk at you in a little bit. Jeff Rich with me as he is live in Cleveland for that game today. So we'll be right back. It is Dorf on Sports. And probably with John Poulter, to be honest with you. So keep it close. It's Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
Years? It's not stocks, not bonds, it's silver. And right now, we at Lear Capital believe silver is poised to hit new record highs. And we're making it easier to own than ever. For a limited time, new customers with $5,000 or more to invest in gold or silver can get up to 10 certified Morgan Silver Dollars absolutely free. That's right, up to 10 100-year-old Morgan Silver Dollars when you invest $5,000 or more. A $600 value free. This offer is available for IRA accounts as well.
Call right now, 800-631-9229, 800-631-9229, 800-631-9229. Call Lear Capital now, 800-631-9229.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help, and your insurance may offer coverage.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-521-3214, 800-521-3214.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-521-3214, 800-521-3214.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for prescription drugs? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get prescription drugs at huge discounts from Canada Drug Center. That's right, the most popular drugs for cholesterol, high blood pressure, depression, diabetes, arthritis, and many more are now up to 75% off. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices when you can get brand name drugs at the lowest price? Call today and get up to 75% off all the popular brand name prescription drugs. Never pay high prices again. Get the most popular drugs at huge savings from our Canadian and international pharmacies and fulfillment centers. No insurance? No problem. Prices are so low you do not need benefits or insurance to get all your prescriptions fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting to take your call now. Order today and get free shipping. Just call 800-950-1180. Up to 75% off all the popular brand name prescription drugs and free shipping. Call 800-950-1180. That's 800-950-1180.
All righty, everybody. Welcome back. It is Dorf on Sports. Sounds like Canadian national anthem to me, if you will, but that must mean John Poulter is in the house all the way from Canada talking baseball with me. John, good morning, man. How are you?
Morning, Andy. Doing very well, thanks. How about you?
I'm all right. You're not going to get the pleasure of speaking to Jeff today because he only had about 20 minutes as he was on his way to the football game today, Cleveland Browns and the Titans in a matchup of two former Heisman Trophy winners with Johnny Football and his guy, well, that's his guy, and then obviously Mariota on the other side in Tennessee. But, man, oh, man, John, there's a lot of things that are interesting in baseball right now. And I want to actually ask you about something, not necessarily about the standings, but the other day when St. Louis and Chicago were playing, you had some really interesting decisions made by people to go after people. And I'm talking about pitchers, obviously. I don't think that the Cubs were going after them, but it was pretty obvious that St. Louis was going after them. So what do you think? And do you think that Joe Maddon handled that correctly?
Well, I think the only thing that surprised me about that was the fact that the Kansas City Royals weren't involved. they have been the headhunters all season, and that's something that has disappointed me because I've always thought Kansas City was a class organization. They have a good team. They don't need to go and do that kind of stuff, but it seems that just about every beanball incident I've seen this year has involved the Kansas City Royals, and I find that a little bit disturbing. I'm not sure who started the Cardinals-Cubs issue. I only saw the highlights on MLB Network. I didn't actually see the game live. So all I actually saw was what appeared to be the start of it when Matt Holliday got hit in the helmet, which, you know, clearly is a dangerous spot to be hit. It took him out of the game. We don't know whether that was intentional or not, and I did not see what led up to that to know whether there was a reason that Holliday was hit. I certainly think that when the Cardinals came back and hit the Cub hitter in the back of the pants below the calf, that certainly did look to me as though it was deliberate. The good news about that was that the pitcher had the common sense and the decency to aim at a spot where it wasn't going to injure the guy for life or take him out of the game. But I thought Maddon handled it quite well. He was obviously very, very annoyed, and I thought he held his temper well. I think his quote was, "We don't start trouble, but we sure know how to finish it." And that's probably the message that everybody needs. And I'm a little surprised that the Cardinals would go after somebody because, as you know, from you and I working together for the last 2 years plus, I've always been a big fan of the Cardinals organization and the class in which they handle themselves. So I'd be disappointed if it was intentional, but again, only the guys on the bench and the pitchers on the mound are the ones that really know the answer to that.
Do you think this is a case of two ball clubs just meeting each other too many times throughout the season? And let's face it, this is a heated race. I mean, look, I don't think they're going to catch them, but the Cubs are 5 games back. Pittsburgh's 4 games back. 3 teams that are all going to win 90 games in the same division, first and foremost, is unheard of. But do you think that maybe it's just so testy and so tight that they're just getting to know each other too well, and they're like brothers or sisters fighting a little bit?
Yeah, I think it's all of that. Plus, I think it's the fact that the Cardinals have had such a huge lead for the whole season, and probably rightly or wrongly and intentionally or not intentionally, they've become a little bit complacent, and all of a sudden there's somebody breathing down their necks, not just one team, but two.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if the Cardinals are suddenly sitting there thinking, you know, heck, we may not even win this division. We might find ourselves in that winner-take-all wild-card game, which when you think about how well the Cardinals have played all season and the numbers that they've put up, that's got to be very concerning to them in terms of the postseason. So I think it's a combination of all of those things that you point out plus that. And, you know, that's what baseball wants, though. Baseball wants division rivalries, and they want teams playing each other 19 times within the division. And I guess if you're going to win the division, you have to play well within your division. And, you know, Texas might be the oddity there. Texas is 30-35 in the AL West, yet they're in first place. And that's the first time I think I've ever seen that happen. But I think that's very much a factor. And let's face it, in all sports for 100 years, St. Louis and Chicago has been a heated rivalry, whether it's been baseball, basketball, football, or in today's world, hockey. So it's a combination of all of those things, I think, Andy.
Yeah, no, I think it's interesting. I mean, when's the last time you've seen a division have three teams that are all going to win 90 games. I don't think I've ever seen it. Have you?
I don't recall seeing it. I know that there was some times in the late 80s, early 90s when the AL East had three teams that all had high 80s wins. And, of course, in those days, only one of those teams made the postseason, and that was always a big complaint that a team was finishing second or third and probably could have won one of the other two divisions. But it's the first time that I've seen this happen, and it's actually kind of ironic when you look at the standings and look at all of baseball. The top five records in baseball in order are St. Louis, Pittsburgh, the Cubs, Kansas City, and Toronto. So the National League has the best three. If you look at the worst five from the bottom up, it's Philadelphia, Atlanta, Milwaukee and Cincinnati, and Colorado. So the National League has this huge gap. They've got the three best teams in baseball. They got the worst five. So that tells you that, you know, everybody's been beating up on each other, and that's probably a reason why we're seeing those three teams with potentially 90 wins each.
Yeah, and let's kind of jump over to the West in the American League where – look, it's happened. Texas has taken over the division, 2.5-game lead now over the Astros. I almost feel bad for the Astros. I really do, John. You know, think about it. They remind me of something that really hits home with the Milwaukee Brewers. Except
I knew you were going to say that.
Except they've even done it longer, you know, and they've been atop the division for the same amount of time, if not, like I said, a little bit longer, and now they find themselves 2.5 games back and scrambling to make the playoffs.
Yes, I guess with the exception of a few days in either late June or early July, the Astros have led that division all year, but I saw the highlights of all four of the Texas-Houston games, and I did watch one of the games in its entirety this week, and Texas, from what I saw, were full value for their money, and as I said to some folks the other day, if I was looking at that this week, I think I could sum it up in five words. Houston, we have a problem, because I think they're very definitely grasping now. They're 2.5 games back. They're 3 in the loss column. The one thing that's going to save them is that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of this week, they have an opportunity to pay back because there's 3 games in Arlington. But what the Astros have done is put a tremendous amount of pressure on themselves now to take those 3 games because they got swept in Texas. They've basically got to return the favor to get back into this, and even if they do, they're still only going to be a half a game ahead, depending on what happens in their respective games today.
Yeah, I mean, look, in a weird way, like I said, I feel bad for them because it hits home to me, and I it's like 2 years in a row you're seeing – two teams really collapse that have played, you know, very good baseball for much of the season. And then, you know, you just have these other guys kind of nipping and clawing at you, and somehow you succumb to that pressure, whereas they rise to the occasion and you find yourself on the outside looking in.
Yeah, I wonder if it's the fact that, you know, the Astros are a young team. They're a couple of years ahead of where everybody projected them to be, including Astros management themselves. And I wonder if perhaps the heat of the pressure and the pennant race is starting to get to these guys, because if you look at that roster, and I haven't examined it player by player, but there's nobody on that Astros roster that sticks out as being a proven winner that's been to the World Series, has been to the Championship Series. So they're all sort of learning this together, including A.J. Hinch, who's never had a record of being a champion or a pennant winner. So they're all going through this together, and maybe it's an expensive learning process. And one thing you've said many, many times when you and I have chatted is that sometimes you have to lose before you can win.
Yeah, no, that's true. And I've always been a big advocate of that, to be honest with you. You have to have failure before you have success, you know, and you have to get yourself in a position to have that success. And look, Houston's done that, but they're starting to succumb a little bit to the pressure, and we'll just have to see how they can respond. I guess, you know, look, it's sports are about adversity, right? And now they've got themselves a little bit of adversity. They've been atop that division most of the year, and now they're behind. Let's see what kind of fight they have in them, right?
Yeah, and I think this goes back again to that short spell where the Angels passed them in midsummer. They showed exactly what they were of by coming back within the next week and going on an 8-2 or 9-1 spell and taking first place back. So they've got that opportunity this week to put destiny in their own hands by sweeping Texas, this time in Houston. So let's hope. I think when we had this conversation last week, I think one of my comments was the AL West may look a lot different today than it does this Sunday than it did last Sunday, and I guess that has actually happened. I thought Texas might take three out of four. I didn't think they'd take all four, but I thought they'd take three out of four and make it very interesting, and taking four makes it even more interesting.
Hey, John, we got to take a quick pause for the cause, but I want you to come back with me on the other side. We got a lot more stuff to get into in Major League Baseball, so hang tight with me. I got John Poulter talking Major League Baseball. It is Dorf on Sports, and you're hanging out on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We'll be right back, everybody. Keep it close.
If you want to stop moisture from coming into your home, think Ames. Apply Ames coatings to waterproof and protect roofs, basement walls, and decks. Ames adhesive high-strength elastomeric liquid rubber coatings are impenetrable. Extreme moisture protection. Look for the Ames Blue Max, Maximum Stretch, and Safety Deck brands at your local hardware store or see amesresearch.com. That's AMESresearch.com. Available at Ace, Do It Best, and True Value stores.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like they did for these Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can have your website built for free and up and running in as little as 7 days. Plus, promote your site on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call now to get your website built for free. If after 30 days you're happy with your new website, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for just one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing. Call 855-254-SITE, 855-254-SITE. 855-254-7483 or go to web.com/radio. There is no upfront charge for building the website, after which the ongoing fee applies. Rights to the website are relinquished upon cancellation unless otherwise purchased.
Tired of calls, levies, and liens from the IRS or hiring others who don't get the job done? Call Wall & Associates and you'll never talk to the IRS again. The IRS has a program to eliminate tax debt, and Wall & Associates professionals are trained to maximize its benefits for you. You always speak with a live person with real support and real knowledge. We've helped thousands of taxpayers like you settle their tax debt with the IRS for a fraction of what they owe. We solve tax problems. Call Wall & Associates now, 800-480-5708. We have the professionals who know how to solve tax problems. If you owe money to the IRS, your tax problems are not going away by themselves, and the passage of time will only make matters worse. Act now, before it's too late. Call Wall & Associates right now to speak to a professional tax relief agent. Call 800-480-5708. That's 800-480-5708. Again, 800-480-5708.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-414-1051. That's 1-800-414-1051. 1-800-414-1051. Call now.
All righty. Welcome back. A little bit of Rush for you there, John, just for your listening pleasure.
Yeah, keeping it Canadian. This is always good.
Hey, we always try. And I'll be honest with you, Rush is honestly one of my favorite bands of all time. Seen them many times, to be honest with you, in concert. Love the laser show that they put on. Just incredible music, by the way. And, yep, another great Canadian band. Another great music band from Canada, man. I don't know what to say, really.
Well, we do turn them out. Obviously not as plentiful as U.S. bands and artists, but, we are well-known for the music industry.
Absolutely. And speaking of Toronto and baseball and Canada, your Blue Jays, 3.5-game lead over the Yankees. You know what? Last time, I think it's been kind of interesting. You know, they're like down 1.5, then they're up 1.5. Last week, I think when we spoke, they were up 2.5. This week they're up another game, I think. So it's going in the right direction. We've already talked about this. They're going to be in the postseason. It's just a matter of whether they win that division or whether they're as the wild card. But more and more as it keeps coming closer, looks like they're going to win that division, John.
Well, they're certainly in the driver's seat. But again, it's 3.5 games and could, I guess, potentially be 4.5 or 2.5 after today's games. And huge series Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday here in Toronto, a three-game series between the two teams, which I think is going to determine how that race finishes up. If Toronto can take two out of those three games, I think that they're going to be hard to take in terms of winning the division. If somehow or other the Yankees sweep that series, or if the Yankees take two out of the three, we've got ourselves a baseball race. And it's going to come down to what the other teams in the American League East do in terms of playing, but and making the deciding factors for us. But it's kind of interesting when you look at that division. It's really two divisions. It's one division at the top with Toronto and the Yankees, 3.5 apart, as you mentioned. Then you go to the bottom three, and you've got Baltimore, Tampa Bay, 12, 14, and 14.5 behind. So you've got three teams sort of fighting for third, fourth, and fifth as well. And you know that none of those teams wants to finish last. They all want to have a say in who wins the American League East division. So we're in for some pretty exciting baseball, I think, over the next 15 days, which will bring us to the end of the regular season.
You know, we saw the Mets playing the Yankees, you know, and, you know, a lot of hopes, a lot of dreams for a lot of people to have a Subway Series, if you will. But it looked to me like, you know, the Mets were definitely the better team in that series.
Well, it's funny because I watched a good piece of both of those games, and the Friday night game was all Mets until the bottom of the ninth, and the Yankees had a chance to get back into it. They were down 5-1, excuse me, and they had the bases loaded with one out in the ninth inning, and there was a short fly ball to left field, so the guy at third base could not come in, and then the game ended on a strikeout. So it was a lot closer than it looked on the scoreboard. Yesterday, it was pretty much all Yankee hitting. They got up 5-0 and hung on. So I think that, you know, if you look at it on paper, the Yankees probably have the stronger team, but I think the Mets, in terms of how they're playing right at the moment and the confidence that they're playing with, I think the Mets are probably the better team on the field. And certainly the Mets have got the easier schedule as we move forward through the rest of the regular season. They've got 9 games left, 3 against the Braves, the Phillies, and Washington, all of which, are, of course, are teams that are below them in the standings. So, and they've played very well in the National League East. They're the actual opposite of Texas. Texas, I mentioned, were 30-35 in their division. The Mets are 45-22. So they're 23 games over 500 in their division, and they've got 9 more games to play within that division. So you got to think the Mets are in pretty good shape to wrap that division up pretty quickly.
Yeah, I would say it's pretty much a foregone conclusion. They've got the division with a pretty healthy seven-game lead, if I'm not mistaken. Hey, what do you think about Cespedes wanting that 6-year contract, at least a 6-year deal? What do you think?
Well, if you look at what he has done in terms of since he's been with the Mets, he's done very well. I wrote an article on that this week on More Than a Fan that sort of indicated just how valuable he's been in terms of a pickup from the 1st of August. He's almost matched his numbers in the last 6 weeks that he had for the whole season in Detroit. And he wasn't chopped meat when he was in Detroit, so that just tells you how he's picked up his game. I have to wonder, you know, obviously I don't know the man, and he's never played in my city, so I've never followed him on a day-to-day basis, but I have to wonder, for a guy of that talent to have been traded the number of times that he has in a very short period of time, I have to wonder if there might be some underlying factors there that come into play other than his playing ability, because certainly in terms of his hitting and his fielding, he's got an excellent arm, and even more so now that they've got him in left field as opposed to right or center. He comes across as being an excellent player. It's an awful lot of money. It's an awful lot of term for a guy that age. But, you know, when you look at the numbers, maybe he does have some ammunition there. again, I have to wonder about a player of that ability that's moved teams so much in such a short period of time if there's something that we don't know.
Well, and not only that, you know, like I've always said, sometimes a change of scenery is good, but the real question is can he sustain it? You know, and I think that when you have yourself a really good year and you're going for all kinds of money because, you know, you're in a contract situation, whatnot, you have a lot to live up to. And I think that the question becomes, can he do this over and over? Can he stay in one spot? You know, I mean, that's the bottom line.
Yeah, we've seen too many guys have a wonderful season, get themselves a big contract, and then sort of slip back. And
yes,
the names roll off the tongue fairly quickly. So, you know, we don't need to go that route. But we've seen it happen in all sports 1,000 times, and this may not be any different. Going back to the issue with his personality, I of course don't know this for sure, but the rumors around Toronto anyway were that when he was with the Red Sox were not interested in re-signing him because they felt he was uncoachable. Now, whether that's fact or fiction, obviously it's only the Red Sox and Cespedes that can tell us that, but if that is a factor, you know, that might explain why he has moved around as much as he has.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's got to be something to it. We don't exactly know. We see what he does on the field, and, you know, it just makes you kind of scratch your head, because when you have that kind of talent, you would think that a guy would be a hotter commodity, if you will. And you know what? He's obviously helped himself in that sense now. But, again, we'll just have to see how it all shakes out for him. Sooner or later, he is going to get paid. We all know it. But I think sometimes guys got to just kind of relax and, you know, why not just go about your business a little bit more quietly? That's all I'm thinking.
Yeah, exactly. But the Mets are in a tough spot because clearly the Mets need him, because we can see the results before he got there and the results after he got there. So from that standpoint, maybe he's the guy that holds the ace in this game.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. I mean, he's got a lot of weight that's behind him with what's happened to the Mets since he's arrived. So I agree with you 100%. Hey, let's move on. The Dodgers look like they're coasting. San Francisco Giants, not what we would expect from them in an odd year, is it? And I mean by that, I'm talking 11, 13, here's 15. What's going on?
Well, I guess you got to look at injuries as being a big piece of that. They've been very unsettled in the rotation. I think one guy that they miss a lot more than we would have thought that they would have missed if we'd said at the start of the season he was going to miss a chunk of the year for injury is Joe Panik at second base. You don't tend to think of young players coming into that team as being keys, but I think that's been part of it. And I think the other issue has been Hunter Pence has been in and out of the lineup with injuries two or three times, and he's not a superstar by any means, but they seem to win when he plays. So I think that's been a piece of it. Unusually, they've had some pitching injuries, and Kane hasn't come through. Lincecum hasn't come through. Bumgarner's been himself, but one guy doesn't do it, and you know the rest of the rotation is starting to get a little long in the tooth with Hudson and you know PV. So I think it's a number of things there. And you know, do they miss Sandoval? Although you know I don't think they've missed him defensively. But again, sure. I think there's a lot of factors involved in San Francisco. And in terms of the Dodgers, Kershaw and Greinke have been a great 1-2 punch, and probably one of the best 1-2 punches in the game.
Yeah, no doubt there. Hey, one of the things that may be a little bit of a shocker, and I think we thought they were going to be a little bit better than they are, San Diego Padres, would you call this a disappointment with all the moves that they made in the offseason?
Yes, I would. However, if we think back to our conversation at the start of the year when they made all of those moves, one of the things that we talked about and agreed on was the fact that they'd improved themselves immensely in terms of the bats that they had put in the lineup and doing it without the expense of giving up any pitching. But the other thing that we agreed on was the fact that defensively they had weakened themselves at most positions, and that's a big ballpark. and very much a pitcher's ballpark, and the pitching and defense is a big part of the game. So I have to wonder if that has perhaps caught up with them as well, but I didn't expect them to be this bad. I thought they were probably the second or third best team in that division. I thought the Dodgers probably were the winners, but I thought the Giants and the Padres would be very close behind them. It's been a huge disappointment. And, of course, with Arizona playing as well as it has, that's pushed them down the pecking order a little bit further.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird when you talk about a team playing well when they're six games under 500, and I'm talking about the Diamondbacks like you were alluding to. But in all honesty, it is a good season for them. You know, we would have thought that they'd struggle worse than they did this season, but ultimately they play the game the way that you're supposed to. They go out there and they give it 100% every single time they play. And you know what? That results in a lot more victories than people really would think, to be honest with you. So kudos to the brass here in Arizona for at least putting out a team that goes out there and gives you 100% effort every single night in and out, John.
Oh, for sure. I mean, the Sports Illustrated in their preseason issue had the Diamondbacks pegged to finish last in that division and only win 65 ball games, and right now
they're
on a pace to win 78. So if Arizona fans and management had said at the start of the season the Diamondbacks might be close to a 500 team and would win in the high 70s, I think everybody would have taken it, given the fact that everybody understood and appreciated the fact that they were in a rebuilding phase.
Along those lines, the Minnesota Twins, I believe, were supposed to be the worst team in all of baseball, and they're fighting for a wild card in the American League on that note.
Yeah, I think they had the Twins pegged to win 67 games, so they were in the same ballpark as Arizona. And we've talked before about the wonderful job that Paul Molitor has done since he went back in the dugout.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, they're in the hunt. They got a shot. But ultimately, who do you think gets that second wild card in the American League now?
It's a toss-up. I think a lot's going to depend on what happens in that Astros-Rangers series Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I think we'll have a better view of it then. If Texas wins that series, I think the Angels probably have the leg up. The Twins perhaps still in it, but losing those two games to the Angels yesterday certainly didn't help them. If the Astros can win that series, then maybe Texas falls back into that spot. But I think that's a race that's going to come down maybe not to the last weekend, but certainly to the last week of the regular season.
Sounds great. Hey, John, as always, really appreciate you taking time out. We're up against it. We'll talk to you next week, buddy.
My pleasure, as always. Look forward to chatting next week.
Thanks a lot. John Poulter, our professor of sports, joins us each and every week breaking down Major League Baseball. Great job of it, too, by the way. We'll be right back. One final segment to wrap this hour up. It is Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. I'll be right back.
This family is at home, but they won't be answering the door. They know that the pounding on the door is a process server from the court waiting to hand them foreclosure documents. So instead of enjoying the home they worked so hard to afford, they sit hiding in the dark.
Mom, what was that?
But it doesn't have to be this way. This family can save their home, but they must act fast. Call Allied State Foreclosure Solutions at 800-274-7312. If you're being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, missed a payment on your mortgage, been a victim of a predatory loan, or are upside down on your home, it's critical that you call Allied State Foreclosure Solutions now. 800-274-7312. Allied State Foreclosure Solutions has an attorney in your area that will meet and speak with you. You can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, save your home and your credit, but you must act now. Call 800-274-7312. 800-274-7312. Not available in all states. Paid non-attorney spokesperson.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help, and your insurance may offer coverage.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-521-3214. 800-521-3214.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-521-3214. 800-521-3214.
Today, more than ever, Americans need a means to protect their life savings. With a troubled economy and government spending out of control, they've been forced to promote loose money policies, which decreases the value of the dollar and promotes inflation. Birch Gold Group can help you protect your savings by rolling over all or a portion of your IRA or 401k into an IRA backed by physical gold. Take advantage of the best gold prices in years and enjoy the long-term hedge against inflation that gold provides by moving into a gold IRA from Birch Gold Group, the precious metal IRA specialists. Call Birch Gold Group today for a free consultation on how a tax-free rollover to a gold IRA can offer stability, protection, and the peace of mind that your life savings, which you've worked so hard to build, is safe. Call 888-221-0010 and receive Birch Gold's free information kit, which offers the best-kept secrets for safeguarding your savings with gold. Call 888-221-0010. That's 888-221-0010.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. Final segment here on this hour of Dorf on Sports and the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Got to thank John Poulter and Jeff Rich, both those guys, for taking time out with me as they do each and every Sunday. Jeff, on assignment, if you will. He's in Cleveland getting ready for a football game with the Cleveland Browns and the Tennessee Titans. And then, obviously, John Poulter, who comes to us each and every week from the great place known as Canada. We totally appreciate him coming to us each and every week. So a little bit of what's to come in hour number two. Jerry and I are going to break it down and what's going on in the NFL. Obviously, we got a full docket of games, Texans and Panthers, 49ers and Steelers, Buccaneers and Saints, Lions and Vikings, Cardinals and Bears, Patriots and Bills, Chargers and Bengals, Tennessee Titans and the Browns, which we talked about, and Jeff is at that game, Falcons and the Giants, the Rams and the Redskins, the Dolphins and the Jaguars, the Ravens and the Raiders. That's an interesting one. The Ravens will obviously win that game. Raiders are awful. Cowboys and Eagles, that's an interesting matchup of two division rivals. And then the big one, Seattle and the Green Bay Packers. And we've already seen the Broncos beating the Chiefs. And I'll tell you what, that was a very, very strange football game when you think about it. I think the Broncos actually had no business really winning that football game, but somehow figured out a way to get it done. They win it. And then the Monday nighter this week, the Jets and the Colts. Andrew Luck, man, oh, man, he has a lot to prove after last week going into Buffalo and looking that terrible. Are you kidding me? People talk about that guy as one of the best quarterbacks in the league. If that's the case, he's got to have a much better showing than he did last week. Personally, his offensive line is terrible. The guy's going to be running for his life all the time. And until they can figure that out, I don't think Andrew Luck is a great quarterback. I think he's a good quarterback with the potential to be great. But anyways, that's going to do it for hour number one. So hour number two on the horizon, a lot of Jerry, a lot of the Dorf Man, and maybe even a little bit of you. So we'll pump that number in just a little bit. But keep it close. Another hour on the horizon. It's Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.